Airbus gazes into its crystal ball. The first Learjet 75 is go at power-up. And an explosives hoax aborts a U.S. Airways flight. This is Aero News for Friday, September 7th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. What will commercial aviation look like in 2050? While no one can truly know for sure, Airbus has put forth its most recent installment of The Future by Airbus, its vision for sustainable aviation in 2050 and beyond. And for the first time, the vision looks beyond aircraft design to how the aircraft is operated both on the ground and in the air in order to meet the expected growth in air travel in a sustainable way. The latest Future by Airbus Smarter Skies Concepts focuses on not just what we fly, but how we may fly in 2050 and beyond. The report says that if the air traffic management systems and technology on board today's aircraft were optimized, flights in Europe and the U.S. could be around 13 minutes shorter, and flights in other parts of the world could be briefer as well. Assuming around 30 million flights per year, this would save around 9 million tons of excess fuel annually, which equates to over 28 million tons of avoidable CO2 emissions and a savings of 5 million hours of excess flight time. The Smarter Skies vision consists of five concepts which could be implemented across the stages of an aircraft's operation to reduce waste in time, waste in fuel, and a reduction of CO2 emissions. These new capabilities are designed to reduce traffic congestion and delays, will allow more direct routes, better flight profiles, and should help reduce the cost of air navigation services through advanced communications and technologies. Charles Champion, the Executive Vice President of Engineering at Airbus, says, quote, "We know people want to fly more in the future, and our forecasts support this. We also know they don't want to fly at any cost. The future of sustainable aviation is the sum of many parts, and success will require collaboration amongst all the parties who are passionate about ensuring a successful prospect for aviation." Bombardier's Aerospace Learjet 75 continues to achieve its development milestones with the first powering up of the aircraft's electrical systems on the Wichita production line. Aircraft power, including to the new Bombardier Vision flight deck, was switched on during the week of August 21st as the aircraft progresses toward its 2013 entry into service date. Bombardier says this is an important milestone because there have been major changes to the wiring harness to accommodate the Garmin avionics, the heart of this totally new Bombardier Vision flight deck arrangement. The Bombardier Vision flight deck is designed to deliver a completely new cockpit experience by combining the best in technological advancements with superior design aesthetics. As such, it provides pilots flying the Learjet 70 and Learjet 75 aircraft an unprecedented level of control and comfort. The Bombardier Vision flight deck for Learjet 70 and Learjet 75 aircraft will feature the fully integrated Garmin G5000 digital avionics suite, designed with leading-edge technology and one of the most intuitive crew interfaces available. A U.S. Airways flight en route to Dallas-Fort Worth from Philadelphia turned around and landed back at KPHL after the airline received a tip that there were explosive liquids on board. TSA spokesman Dave Castlevetter said the flight was recalled, quote, "due to a report of a suspicious item," end quote, on the airplane. ABC News reports that the call came with the tip at about 0700 before the flight's scheduled 0738 Eastern Daylight Time departure. The caller said someone who was carrying explosive liquids was trying to get them past TSA. The plane was reportedly over central Pennsylvania when it turned around and went back, according to the flight tracking website FlightAware. After the plane landed back in Philly, it was taxied to a remote area of the airport and surrounded by law enforcement and other public safety vehicles. A man was removed from the aircraft and placed in the back of a police car. His luggage was searched, but no explosives were found. One official involved in the investigation told ABC News that, quote, "it was a hoax all the way through," end quote. Officials questioned the passengers who were sitting near the person who had been escorted from the plane and discovered that he appears to have issued the threat himself. No one was injured, and the other passengers were rebooked on later flights. The first Dreamliner to be flown by an Indian airline has been delivered by Boeing. Air India becomes the fifth airline to take delivery of Boeing's newest airplane. This delivery is the first of 27 Dreamliners for Air India. The airplane is equipped with 18 business class seats and 238 economy class seats. The 787 has the range and capability to allow Air India to deploy the Dreamliner on many routes, including the Middle East, Europe, Asia, and Australia. Air India's first 787 Dreamliner was assembled in Everett, Washington, and delivered Wednesday from Boeing's South Carolina Delivery Center. The airplane is scheduled to fly to Delhi today. When Aero News continues, flight suits as a fashion statement. A new survey hopes to get the FAA on the same page with, well, the FAA. And Starlight, Star Bright, how would you like to name an asteroid tonight?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Friday, September the 7th. I'm Glenn Moyer. NASA has published a colorful picture-filled book that details the development and use of the protective clothing worn by test pilots, astronauts, and others as they soar high above the Earth. Dressing for Altitude, U.S. Aviation Pressure Suits, Wiley Post to Space Shuttle. The book provides a 526-page survey of the partial and full pressure suits designed to keep humans alive at the edge of space since their first use during the years before World War II. Pressure suits are not the spacesuits worn by spacewalking astronauts, by the way. The book explores the challenges the clothiers-turned-engineers faced in designing a garment that could be relatively lightweight, flexible, inflatable, and still keep an ejecting pilot safe at high altitude and in the water. Dennis R. Jenkins, a writer, engineer, and manager with 30 years of experience working on NASA programs, including the space shuttle, wrote the book and assembled its photographs and illustrations. Jenkins says he became interested in the topic, especially after studying the work and dedication of Goodrich and the David Clark Company, the two major companies responsible for most of the pressure suits development through the years. There are 9 FAA regions scattered across the U.S., along with 10 aircraft certification offices and more than 80 flight standards district offices. But given today's technology, it's often frustrating to pilots and others in the industry that they do not always seem to be on the same page when it comes to the application or interpretation of regulations. Recently, the U.S. Congress told the FAA to do something about that. When Congress passed the FAA reauthorization bill earlier this year, it included a provision which mandated that the FAA establish an advisory panel comprised of government and industry representatives to develop recommendations to improve the consistency in regulatory application, particularly with regard to the certification and approval process. As a result, the Consistency of Regulatory Interpretation Aviation Rulemaking Committee was established. It's otherwise known as ARC. This ARC is now asking for industry input. Through an online survey, the ARC is looking for aviation industry input on the consistency of regulatory application with regard to the certification and approval process. Input from individuals and organizations involved in the day-to-day of the aviation industry is not only valuable but necessary to ensure a favorable outcome. The deadline to complete this survey is September the 25th. Well, it is an election year, and 2 FAA managers are under investigation for allegedly trying to influence how their subordinates should vote. ANN has been hearing bits and pieces of this story for a number of weeks, but now a political watchdog and transparency group called Cause of Action has released documents that it says reveals a potential Hatch Act violation at the FAA. This allegedly involves John J. Hickey, Deputy Associate Administrator for Aviation Safety at the FAA, and Raymond Towles, the Deputy Director for Flight Standard Field Operations. In a news release, the group says that at a May 23, 2012 staff meeting, Hickey allegedly told subordinates that, quote, if the Republicans win office, their jobs might be affected, but if the Democrats win office, then their jobs would not be affected, end quote. Additionally, Hickey and Towles held mandatory meetings with employees at other regional FAA offices where similar comments may have been repeated. Whistleblowers came forward after the May 23rd meeting at the Seattle FISDO. alerting a deputy regional counsel in the FAA's Northwest Mountain Region office, who is now conducting an investigation into both Hickey and Towles for allegedly telling employees, quote, how to vote if they wanted to keep their job, end quote. The Hatch Act prohibits executive agency employees from engaging in political activity intended to affect the result of an election. The FAA said in a prepared statement that it was taking the matter seriously and would fully cooperate with any investigation. Students worldwide have an opportunity to name an asteroid from which an upcoming NASA mission will return the first samples to Earth. The Origins Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer, say that five times fast, scheduled to launch in 2016, will return samples from the primitive surface of the near-Earth asteroid currently called 1999 RQ36. It could hold clues to the origin of the solar system and organic molecules that may have seeded life here on Earth. Asteroids are just cool, and 1999 RQ36 deserves a cool name, says Bill Nye. He is chief executive officer for the Planetary Society. He added, quote, engaging kids around the world in a naming contest will get them tuned into asteroids and asteroid science, end quote. Well, this contest is in a partnership with the Planetary Society in Pasadena, California, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, Lincoln Laboratory in Lexington, and the University of Arizona in Tucson. It's open to students under age 18 from anywhere in the world. Each contestant can submit one name up to 16 characters long. Entries must include a short explanation and rationale for the name. Submissions must be made by an adult on behalf of the student. The contest deadline, Sunday, December the 2nd, 2012. A panel will review proposed asteroid names. First prize will be awarded to the student who recommends a name that is approved by the International Astronomical Union Committee for Small Body Nomenclature. Whew. One official there says, quote, we look forward to having a name that is easier to say than 1999 RQ36. If you ask me, they need a name easier to say than the International Astronomical Union Committee for Small Body Nomenclature. I don't know. I kind of like RQ36. It reminds me a bit of R2-D2 and C-3PO from Star Wars fame. Well, good luck to all you students anyway. In the meantime, I'm Glenn Moyer, a.k.a. AC-907. That's short for Aerocast, September the 7th. Until next time, you're now cleared for departure.